Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wrestling Tonight. This is Dr. John. We hope everyone is doing well. We had a little line. His chat. Hello. Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Can you hear me, Dr. Jones?
We can hear you, Malcolm, and this is Wrestling Tonight. We had a few technical problems, apparently.
Well, I just want to tell you. I want to tell you, Dr. John, I thought it was my stupid Metro phone. It's been giving me problems all year.
All right. And is Chaz Moretti with us? How are you, Chaz, tonight?
No, I'm doing okay. How are you guys? We have a couple of technical problems, huh?
Yeah. We had a little bit of a technical problem getting hooked up tonight, but we're all here tonight, and it's so good to have you. And we see that Tony Capone is with us. Tony, tonight, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. John, Chaz. How's everyone doing tonight so far?
Okay, guys.
So glad to have you here, and especially all of our guests tonight. So, Chaz, who have we got for our guests tonight?
Well, you know, right now, Dr. John, I want to turn this over to Tony to make some announcements, and then we have a spotlighted guest. And I'm gonna leave the introduction of our guest tonight to none other than the godfather of pro wrestling, Tony Capone. Tony, take it away.
Great.
What announcements do you have for us tonight?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say everyone hello again and happy to be on Wrestling Tonight. I'm actually coming to you live from Greensboro, North Carolina, where I'll be the second trip in 2 weeks to making it happen down here in the North Carolina states. And really, it's been great meetings out here. And watch for a debut of us going back to North Carolina for the NWA in action in 2021 behind the scenes. And some announcements will be made in the next week or so. This past week, as it's been announced on the website and through our Tony Capone NWA page, I'm proud to announce that Dave Penzer, who is the ring announcer extraordinaire, formerly with WCW, is now on board with the NAWA. And, you know, welcome aboard Dave Penzer, and he's going to be our exclusive ring announcer. And it's an honor and a tribute to have someone of that caliber, you know, coming on board with us, you know. So that's breaking. And I've been working behind the scenes with a new talent who is going to be, and he actually came on board this past week also. His name is Tony T, and he's going to be one of our play-by-play commentators. And Tony's from my area in Westchester County, New York. And, you know, he's the next bigger than Joey Styles. He's like the next Gorilla Monsoon. And I want to wish Tony a lot of luck. And I can't wait for him to debut and actually have him on Wrestling Tonight to talk about his perspective as a play-by-play that he's done in New York for quite a while. Young guy and very, very, very talented. And right now, there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes as we're coming close to Jingle Brawl. As everyone's aware, Daytona Beach, Florida, at the Ocean Center, live on Fight TV, which has been discounted down to $9.99 right now to the end of November. And buys are doing great right now, and we're just keeping it asking fans to keep sharing, buying, and just tell your friends and family about this iconic event. And it is going to be an iconic event, and I can guarantee you here tonight, that there's going to be surprises that are going to be on the show that are not going to be announced. And it's going to be one of those other iconic moments in the history of wrestling. And really proud to, you know, bring that to the forefront in regards to what's happening behind the scenes as we speak. In addition to that, I'm on my way down in the next couple weeks to Memphis, Nashville, and Atlanta, Georgia, and letting it happen on the East Coast of New York, you know, down to Florida, you know, so that East Coast of the U.S., and we do have stuff lined up for 2021 in the Milwaukee area, in the Las Vegas area, in Wyoming. So we're going very strong, you know, and I'm just thankful that everyone's on board and just really taking my vision and becoming their dream as well as mine, you know. So with that, Chaz, I'm going to throw it over to you first to start the introduction for our first guest, and I'll take it from there.
All right, very good. So, just getting back to what Tony was saying, things are really starting to pick up for the NAWA, and we're very pleased and excited about all this. And I know we have Dr. John on with us tonight, and we have Malcolm on with us tonight. Dr. John, who else is joining us on our panel tonight?
Well, we've got some great folks now. Now, I've got some area code 956, area code 910, area code, of course, 208, which is Malcolm, and area code. Now, who's from area code 774 tonight?
That's me, Kyle Bowman.
All right, so without further ado, Tony, I'm going to let you introduce our special guest tonight.
I don't even know where to start with our special guest, Mr. Kyle Bowman from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, has been behind the scenes with the NAWA, and I'm pleased to officially announce that Kyle Bowman is our senior head writer for the NAWA, and he, along with Lou Reardon and a lot of guys behind the scenes, are taking our vision, but it's Kyle's creative style, and I've had this looked at from many, many people behind the scenes, and they said this guy really has it. And I'm proud to announce tonight's special guest is none other than NAWA senior creative writer, Mr. Kyle Bowman from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Welcome, Kyle.
Wow. Oh, my God. Thank you, Tony, and thank you all to our esteemed panel for having me on. How do I follow that? What an introduction.
Kyle, you usually keep me speechless. To see you speechless for a change, it's a little bit weird for me, my man.
Yes, and I thank you very much for your patience, because I know I can get long-winded, or at least I feel that I can sometimes, and with some of the things that I've sent and written for drafts and what have you, I admire that. You're able to sift through it and pass it along to the team, so that's been a plus.
Kyle, Chaz, do you have like an actual introduction that you'd like to talk to Kyle in regards to his background in general, or do you want me to take it?
Sure. No, go ahead. Take it away, Tom.
Now, Kyle,
okay.
Just if you can for a second, just give us like a little bit of background about yourself and how you got into writing. And I know personally you've had a couple of wrestling books that you've produced on your own and directed and written on your own. And can you just give us a little bit of enlightenment of who Kyle Bowman is and, you know, what he's planning on bringing to the table with the NAWA?
Oh, well, why, thank you. And I know that's a loaded question. I'll try to give the Cliff Notes version, LOL. But I am a self-published author. That's indeed true. And most of my books, a lot of which are found on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. A lot of it is a feature-style story of journalism, you know, that matter-of-factly factual information, then putting in my own commentary for, you know, certain chapters, certain sections, something that would be a historical moment in wrestling, for example. And thankfully, you were able to bring me aboard through much correspondence. I've had two other internships before that, one of which was through the New World Wrestling Extreme. A special thank you and shout out to James Allen, and also the AIWF Mid-Atlantic version through Mr. Rick Diesel, kind of the same way, outside looking in, internship, contribute, and staying persistent.
And your actual books, how many wrestling books have you written over your career in the last, you know, couple of years? And can you explain like what the books are about, the titles in general?
Oh, sure. My most favorite one, there are many, but I'd say probably around 12 or 13 being wrestling. My first publication was Pro Wrestling by a Fan for Fans. That was in September of 2012. And that was more or less the analytical side, which I tend to do a lot of, especially in my creative writing with you. Looking at it from a different perspective, being very matter-of-factly, very pro-con, but also implementing, you know, what if. And that's the greatest part about wrestling, is the possibility of possibilities. What if? What if something could happen in real life, makes it relatable, but also keeping the realm of sport and tradition is also very important.
Now, how did you get involved with wrestling as a fan in general back in the days? Can you give us that style of Kyle and in regards to what wrestling did you grow up on? Was it WWF back in the days or was it NWA? Or what actual organization did you base your fanship from becoming a wrestling fan? And how far back does that go?
Oh, gosh. I would love to. I'll try not to get too long-winded because I know we'll probably have a birthday by the time I'm done.
Kyle, this is your platform. This is all about you tonight, my man.
The floor is yours, Kyle.
Oh, I certainly appreciate that. You'll get used to my dry sense of humor that I inject from time to time. So I take that with a grain of salt. But in answering your question, absolutely. A lot of it was a little bit of the late NWA that I grew up on, even as a Northerner, like the WCW Power Hour after Ted Turner bought it in January of 88 and rechristened the company to World Championship Wrestling. I've always appreciated that sense of realism and the appeal of sport. But, of course, the first live event was probably 1994, with my father, and that's how I bond and connect with my father, who introduced me to the sport. I'm 33 now, and it's been a lifelong passion.
Well, it's amazing how young you are and how much of an insight you have of wrestling. And I'll tell you, as a owner of a company, as a promoter, as a booker, and taking my vision and my ideas and to see it on paper with your vision it's breathtaking. There's times I just sit back and I'm like, I can't believe he came up with this stuff. And behind the scenes, and you know who the players are. We talk and we're like, you know, this guy's got it. And, you know, back and forth. And, we were going back and forth for a while. And, I slowly started letting you in, and now I'm proud to say that you're our senior creative writer, and Jingle Ball is my vision, but it's not just yours, but it's all of our workers' dreams to be able to bring this event to fruition finally and make it another iconic event the way Slam Jam was back in the 90s and early 2000s, and to have you on board with your side of this. It is really enlightening because seeing what you're writing, and I think Chaz can even say this because he's seen some stuff also, it's just basically, Kyle, you have it. And just at such a young age to really have that, that fan side of it, but now also on the inside of it, you're getting both perspectives. And, I just can't stress enough like your uniqueness. And it's really enlightening to really read some of your stories and, the tournaments that you're developing and behind the scenes. And I know one of our panelists, which we haven't heard from yet, Malcolm, is going to be a big fan of yours just from what you can bring to the table and what you're planning on bringing to the table. So, Chaz, I'm going to throw it to you. Do you have any questions for Kyle in general, or maybe open up to the panel a little bit for, another insight from somebody else?
Absolutely. So, Kyle, let's delve into a little bit more of the insights that you're bringing forward. It's a little bit different when you're looking at the product from both sides of the looking glass, so to speak. How would you describe the challenges that you've encountered in terms of writing and producing and trying to put things together based on a vision? How would you assess that?
Certainly. And a great question, too, by the way, and I appreciate you asking it. The first part of it would be really trying to grasp the vision of what Tony is suggesting, being able to kind of hear and take in all of that perspective. And I'll try to paraphrase, he'll say, give me some of your creative. In my speak, I call it, give it color, which is a fancy way of saying of paint the picture, give it detail. And coming up with things that may or may not be the best fit for a talent, but luckily enough, especially we live in an age of social media, and everybody can follow us too, NAWA Wrestling on Twitter and Facebook, respectively, just to put that out there. Social media is where all of our media information is bigger, faster, quicker, and I'm able to look and listen to people's promos and previous matches and really figure out, okay, this previous draft of mine didn't work out. Let's revisit it, edit, and fix it. And having changes is the second most difficult. Changes being talent that may or may not be here for whatever reason, or just changes in the card, maybe a different scope, a different projection of what a better match would be, as an example, and adjusting on the fly.
Excellent. Excellent. Dr. John, you have any questions for Kyle?
Yes, sir, I do, Kyle. First of all, thank
yes.
you very much for being here. And we know that in the 60s and the 70s, there was a lot of things that happened on the fly where, you know, people were in the ring and they were trying to create basically the madness that we love. And what do you think about how that plays in with, you know, today? I mean, because a lot of what happened was really on the fly, but now it's not. And so how does that play into what you do?
Oh, perfect. And that's a great question, and I can go down memory lane here because I'm a big proponent of tradition and setting things the right way in terms of a structure. But in answering your question, a lot of it is based on, I won't say formulaic. I know that might sound, you know, too fundamental, but creating a feud. It's based on, of course, psychology, but also intuition. Being able to understand the crowd of your audience, who you're booking for, what they like and what they appreciate, and moreover, coming up with what I call emotional investment. You hook them with a story. You give them their action, their drama, their intrigue, and hit them with a cliffhanger, as an example, to make them tune in next week.
Absolutely. And, you know, the cliffhanger idea, that's great because that's what you want them to do. You want them to come back next week. And if they don't, well, you don't have any viewers.
Exactly.
Now, Dr. John, there's another one of our panelists that's waiting in the waiting room. 956
yes.
area code, that's Vincent Berry.
Hello, guys. How are you? Can you hear me?
Vince, how are you tonight?
Welcome.
I am doing well. Thank you very much. I'm just enjoying listening to you guys talk about the creative process.
Well, you know, Vince, I think it's an interesting time for you to chime in because being an author yourself with the upcoming Lance Von Erich book, I think you and Kyle will have a great time discussing a little bit of creative, a little bit of the writing process. So do you have any questions that you'd like to ask Kyle?
Well, Kyle, very nice to meet you, by the way, and I've enjoyed
Likewise.
Listening to you. I like when you were talking about painting the picture, and I think that's really important to, you know, to be able to describe what people are reading, where they can visualize it, you know, and I don't know, like I said, I enjoyed listening to your process and what you were sharing.
Oh, I appreciate that, and I thank you, especially for your kind words. I'm glad that I can find it relatable and, of course, connect with someone such as yourself. And any sort of writing, whether it's even your book writing or even here in this realm, it's not always just matches, as we all would know, or stories, but we're trying to create reactions. We're trying to hit emotional buttons and visceral reactions with people. And we're creating moments, things that people can look back on.
Yeah, things that you that leave an impression, something that you'll remember for a long time to come because that memory stuck with you.
Precisely.
Yeah,
now,
that
Kyle,
you know, and when I was at some World Class shows, there are some incidences that happened when I was 15 and 16 years old. You know, just these little moments that I remember, you know, that I just, you know, like Terry Gordy slamming the cage door on Kerry Von Erich's head, or General Akbar burned Iceman King Parsons at a Christmas show one year, and things like that. You know, it's just like, you know, they stick with you because they're very memorable, you know. And so, again, listening to you describe that process is a very important part of the whole thing, because, you know, if you don't describe what you're trying to get to your viewers or your readers, then they miss it.
Exactly. And I totally even agree, especially when you started mentioning about World Class, and even those mentions brought back some memories. And my fondest memory of World Class, which I delve a little bit into, is, of course, let's see here off the top of my head. It was the Masked Superstar super kicking Jimmy Garvin for the title. Big reveal came and the crowd popped. It was Chris Adams under the hood.
Right, right. Yes, I remember that.
And a lot of that tradition and history, as we mentioned, and trying to connect with your audience, is also based on the type of talent that you have. A lot of the earlier superstars, like Rick Rude as an example, Ultimate Warrior, which was Dingo Warrior, have all had their start in their platform. And bringing it all back around, it is historical because it comes full circle. They've even plied their trade with NAWA in Tony's Rings. So it's cyclical.
Okay, yeah, very, yeah, I can see that.
Excellent, guys, excellent. Now, gentlemen, are you all ready? Are you? Have you all prepared yourself for what you're about to experience next?
Okay,
yes.
We need a drum roll.
Not sitting down, you better sit down now, because you are about,
okay.
Kyle, you are about to be witnessed for the first time to the greatness that is the super fan of all super fans. I am referring to the one and only Malcolm Wildman. Malcolm, how are you tonight?
I'm okay. Can I ask Kyle something?
Absolutely. Why don't you turn the speaker off on your phone?
Oh, okay.
Welcome, Malcolm,
better?
And thank you.
Is that better?
Much better. All right, Malcolm.
Okay.
Floor is yours.
Yeah, Kyle, I've been writing poetry. I'm not a writer, but I've been writing a lot of poetry since 1993. I was at Fort Benning, and there was this lady. She was actually a soap opera actress. Her name was Lisa Peluso. I wrote her about 65 poems while I was in the Army for a year and a half. I've been writing a lot of poems about the Oakland Raiders, but I wrote a poem about Hulk Hogan and one about John Cena and some glow girls. And I just want to know,
all
and
right.
Also some TNA wrestlers and some TNA knockouts like the Beautiful People, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. And when we're at the pay-per-view, there's copies of these poems actually on my desktop area in a folder. I'd like to know, Kyle, if you'd look at these and what you think about them, because I worked hard on these. I remember I was at a Hollywood show in January of 2013, and I met Debbie Gibson for the first time. I wrote her a 15-page poem, and she asked me, did I write her a novel or a poem? And she told me to, you know, cut it down to like a page and a half or 2 pages, because after 2 pages, people get bored, you know, because I love writing. I'm not a writer, but, God, I love to write these poems. I just get so creative about them. And wrestling, Kyle, wrestling, I am 57, 5 years old in 1968. My very first heroes were Pat Patterson and Rocky Johnson against the Great Mephisto and Crazy Luke Graham. Me and my sister were watching on a Saturday afternoon in September. And I have just been hooked on wrestling since that time. It's just, wrestling is, when you're watching sports and a team wins or loses, people get upset or they get too happy. But watching wrestling, to me, it's all about the competition. Doesn't matter if they win or lose. Doesn't matter if it's good guy against bad guy. But I love the competition. I love the wrestling moves. I like to see how they perform. And and put together a strategy in the ring. That's what I like about it.
Absolutely. I think that's actually a great correlation because wrestling is a sense of a sport, and if you look at it, you know, good guy, bad guy compete. They have a strategy on, you know, who wins, who loses, that kind of thing. But I admire your perspective and especially that investment and that attachment to wrestling. You know, you've been watching it for so long. We need more fans that are like that today, and we're in a wrestling revival where there's a lot of great companies and places where people can work. And I'd love to, you know, take a look at your writing at some point at your leisure, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, Kyle, one more thing.
Yes.
I know a lot of people don't like the guy, and there's a lot of hate between a lot of the wrestlers and the guy, like Mr. Wonderful, like Superstar Billy Graham. A lot of people are hateful or jealous of Hulk Hogan and all our wrestling fans, but I just love the guy. I'm going to say that right now. When he ripped his T-shirt, he came in the ring, the Real American or Eye of the Tiger, you know, and then he won the match, and he'd do his poses, you know, holding his hand to his ear and extending his arm and all that. I told Hulk Hogan that, you know, I got to go to his beach shop about 2 years ago in Orlando, Florida, and I got a picture with him and Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, the three original members of the NWO in 96 at Bash at the Beach.
Hey, Malcolm, let me stop you right there. Let me see if you know your trivia. Hold on a second. Let me see if you know your trivia. You just mentioned Hogan, Hall, and Kevin Nash. Do you know what building they formed the NWO in back in 96? What building did Hogan, Hall, and Nash first form the NWO?
You talking about the pay-per-view?
Yeah, I'm talking about the pay-per-view.
Okay.
When Hogan turned, what building was that in?
I believe, I could be wrong about this, but was it in
you
Florida?
You probably are.
Was it in
the
Florida?
The loaded question, Malcolm.
Sure.
Where are you going to be on December 19th?
Daytona Beach, Florida is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which building? Where are you going to be on December 19th?
The ocean. Isn't the ocean side?
The Ocean Center. That is correct. That is where the NWO was formed back in 1996, was the Ocean Center.
Yeah, you know, Kyle, I'd love to do it for you if you want to hear it, but only if you want to hear it.
Tony.
I learned how to do it Fort Benning accidentally in August of 1993.
Tony, we give Malcolm permission to do impressions on this show?
Absolutely. He has the floor. Malcolm, go ahead, my man.
Okay.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, Tony. I can't wait to meet you. I mean, I'm real excited about this pay-per-view. I think the guy I'm most excited to meet, I want to meet all the wrestlers I can, ladies, males. But the guy I want to meet the most is Paul Roma, because I used to watch him at the Arco Arena with Jimmy Powers, the Young Stallions. And I thought they should be champions someday, and they broke up before that happened, but when I meet Paul Roma, I just can't wait because I love the Young Stallions. I love it when Jimmy Hart, from the first wrestling album, too, in 87 in September, he was the one sang their theme song, Crank It Up. That's what I can't wait to meet Jimmy Powers or Paul Roma. And if Jimmy Powers is there, that'd be a plus. But, you know, Tony, what I wanted to do for Kyle and Lance, I listened to Lance, and Lance, I'd like to buy a copy of the Von Erichs book in the future. I thought the Von Erichs, I used to watch World Class Championship Wrestling on ESPN in the 80s and during the day. And, you know, it was just fun watching Iceman King Parsons, Gentleman Chris Adams, and Kerry and Von Erich and Gino Hernandez. I mean, I just love those guys. So, you know, I just want you guys, this is for all of you.
Well, you know, when they created the NWA, that Tony Capone with Rat and Kyle, two writers that are going to set the page in writing in Daytona Beach, Florida on December 19th. What's it going to do when their pens run wild on you?
My man, Malcolm.
Thank you,
thank you.
I admire his passion, and to go that far with how far back he remembers and his recollections, and you like who you like, and Hulk Hogan is a great media power back in the day, so more power to you.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Tony.
Chaz, can I have the platform 1 second? I just want to get
absolutely
a little bit of insight on Kyle.
Please, feel free.
Kyle, I just want to hit two things with you in general, and this is going back to the history of the NWA. And as your perspective of coming by, what is your feeling about the history of the NWA and the workers from back in the days and the videotapes that you're seeing behind the scenes, you know, with all the workers from, you know, Ray Hernandez, Herc, and everyone else? What is your insight so far of what you've seen, the history of the NWA?
Gosh, it's a tremendous volume, and we're just getting started as of yet. From what you've released so far, it's really the culmination of bringing wrestling back to the way that it should be, as well as how it used to be, knowing that you have those big-name marquee talents who plied their trade at one time or another and advanced. They can never take that away from you, and that's a true testament of your legacy and credentials as a booker, owner, promoter, to get those type of talent.
Yeah, it's funny. I wanted to hit on that. And one thing that recently came to my attention from, you know, the back of the scenes of releases of volumes that are going to be coming out, we've just found footage recently going back to one of my first promotion matches ever. And it has actually, you know, SD Jones and Mr. Haiti and none other than former WWF superstar, you know, Dominic DiNucci. You know, that's how far back the history of the NWA goes. I mean, yeah, I mean, to have Dominic DiNucci outside of a platform, outside of WWF, I mean, that's historic in itself. I mean, you know, not to pat myself on the shoulders, but it gets very emotional sometimes looking at these tapes and like, wow, you know, it's like, you know, what was I thinking of back then? But I had something in my mind that just like, you know, when I booked, I'm like, I booked these legends that were my idols growing up. And, you know, Dominic was one of them, A.C. Jones, Mr. Haiti, you know, God rest their souls, and, you know, great guys in general. And, you know, in addition to that, we just recently found when I did co-promotions with the UWF, we have footage on our end of UWF that's never been seen on television. And that's, you know, matches between Dr. Death Steve Williams, and we got the Wild Thing Stevie Ray, and Wet and Wild with, you know, Sunny Beach, and, you know, Dan Spivey. And it's just very emotional to see the catalog that far back, and, you know, going from, you know, Betacam SP and, you know, all those formats to high def digital, which is very expensive. But I'll tell you, the memories will last a lifetime. It'll be for many generations to come. So I just wanted to hit on that for a second. And I just wanted your insight in, not revealing too much, but your feelings about the main event in Daytona Beach, the Hercules Cup, and your side of it from what we've spoken about behind the scenes and creative. And, you know, if you could just elaborate a little bit on your vision and not revealing too much right now, but just if you could touch on that for a moment, please.
Okay. Just bear with me a second here as I try to formulate that. But for those who don't know, the Hercules Cup is a tribute to the late Hercules, Ray Fernandez, and it's a homage, as he, you know, was a personal friend of yours and also took you under his wing in this industry. And it's a way to pay homage or pay tribute to him, and we're going to do it through the Jingle Brawl, Saturday, December 19th. Tickets are on sale now, by the way. Ticketmaster and also Fight, and there's a link there, and we mentioned the pre-sale. Secondarily to that, it does create an emotional investment, even in me. You know, this was a guy who I also grew up watching. I remember WrestleMania 3 when he went against Billy Jack Haynes when they were trying to best each other with the full Nelson.
Yeah, that's an iconic event. And I'll tell you, you know, behind the scenes, I'll let it out a little bit. It is going to be a if you want to say, the it's going to be a tribute, first of all, to the family. And I'm proud to say that the Hernandez family will be there in the ring accepting a belt that's been made specifically for the family. And it is a five-tier belt, you know, center plate with 2-4 side plates. And on the side plates has pictures of Ray as NWA, you know, with his NWA shirt on back in the days and his promo shot with the NWA. So it's an emotional investment, and I'm proud to say that the Fernandez family is going to actually be there to accept this. And we are talking about a 15-man, almost, if you want to say, a battle royal type style with over the top, but the winner of the belt or the cup, if you want to say, is going to be a by pinfall only, you know. And maybe you just want to elaborate a little bit more in regards to that and just, you know, let the fans know creatively. And we'll be talking about other matches in the next couple of weeks as we get up to Daytona Beach, December 19th. Do you want to elaborate a little bit more on that in regards to the actual setup that we're talking about in general?
Okay, I will certainly try my best. I'm especially balancing without letting any cats out of the bag here, as the expression goes. But just in reiterating, yes, it is a over-the-top battle royal initially to start, injecting that vein of tradition and that old-school wrestling, and then having the two final combatants wrestle, and they would earn a pinfall, all in the name and honor of the late Hercules. And bringing that sense of credibility, his legacy, his thumbprint, if you will, to this event. And as we've been mentioning and trumpeting, is through the Ocean Center. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I apologize. I'm kind of baffled here.
Yeah, I mean, the Ocean Center was picked for a particular reason. I mean, it's such an iconic building, and there's so many firsts that took place in that building, you know, and humbled on my end as part, you know, as the owner of the NWA, to bring it to Ocean Center to re-debut the launch and, you know, the Back to the Vengeance Tour 2021 throughout the United States and internationally. No other place better than, you know, the Ocean Center with its iconic history to start this off with. And, you know, it's really going to be a, you know, a memorable event, and it's just like a, you know, it's not a mini, but it's a mega mania event, you know, I mean, to say the least. And I just can't wait to actually, we're 35 days away and counting right now as we speak. So it's literally right around the corner. It's not like it's months away. We're literally weeks away from this event taking place. And, you know, the countdown's officially started. So 35 and tomorrow's 34. And we're just getting closer and closer. And, you know, on a parlay thing, you know, Chaz, you know, I've seen a couple of promo tapes that you just came out with recently, too. And I got to tell you, my man, you're stepping it up to the plate. You're very confident in yourself as your managerial skills are about to be debuted with the Moretti Agency.
Well, you know, at the risk of sounding braggadocious, you know, I am the most sought-after agent in all of professional sports. I am honored and humbled to be a part of the NWA. And when I unleashed the Moretti Agency upon the world on December 19th, I'm going to tell you, the world will never be the same after that. And again, you know, I don't want to use this platform to, again, sound braggadocious, but, you know.
But you always are. You always are, my man.
Of course. I mean,
going.
As Arn Anderson once said, you know, who am I to toot my own horn, but toot, you know.
Yeah. And very well deserved. I mean, you've got 10 years plus of this business, and I'm proud to say that I was able to, you know, take you, you know, by my side, not under my wing, but by my side, and to make your vision and your dream come to reality, because it is actually my dream and my vision now to make this Moretti Agency a forefront, something that's going to last in this industry for years to come, that people are going to look back like, hey, remember that guy, Chaz Moretti, you're that guy, you know, so props to you, my man.
Oh, I appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, when the opportunity was first presented to me to join the NAWA, I jumped at it because I understood the philosophy behind the company and behind the vision. And, you know, it's a philosophy that I hold near and dear. My wife likes to kid me and tell me that I'm I'm too old school for my own good. And I said, there's no such thing as being too old school. And so, again, you know, I truly appreciate the opportunity that's being afforded to me by the NAWA. And, you know, I just look forward to tearing it up on the 19th at the Ocean Center. You know, like we talked about before, you had many firsts in that building. You had Kevin Sullivan in that building back in the 70s and 80s. You had Hogan Nash and Hall forming the NWO in that building back in 96. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to see the Moretti Agency in the NAWA in that building. So, again, I'm honored to be a part of such a rich legacy.
I don't know if it's a storm coming in, but it seems like Dr. John's a little quiet tonight. So let's throw it to him for a second and see what he has to say about all this. Dr. John.
He's the most quiet host there is, isn't he?
Tony, thank you for asking me. Yeah, when you're talking about legacies, it's wonderful to talk about how you can build a legacy. And that's what's very important. And Chaz was just talking about this. You know, we get people excited, and they get to where they're really, you know, ready to go with us and build a legacy. And Chaz, you know, you're the one that is going to be helping build this great legacy. I mean, you know, and right now I'm working with some of the great wrestlers of the past and trying to put together their biographies. And, you know, when you look at how you can start from nothing and build something, you know, talk to us, Chaz, about that, because you're helping build legacies for wrestlers. Please, if you don't mind, talk about that, because the building of a legacy is the most important thing that you can do in wrestling. It really is.
Well, you know, Dr. John, I appreciate that. And really all I'm doing is contributing to the furthering of the legacy of the NAWA. I mean, you go back to the way the NAWA was when it first started, its association with the UWF, and the sold-out buildings that they ran back in the day, and just the iconic names that have been part of this roster. You know, it's very humbling to be a small part of continuing that legacy. I think where we lose sight sometimes in professional wrestling is we get caught up in the here and now. We don't look to the past. We don't look to honor or to even study what's gone on before us. I mean, I used to chuckle, and I used to always, you know, make note. You get people that want to put together their own personal top 50 of wrestlers. And they said, well, I haven't missed anybody. And I'd always bring up Jim Londis. And they're like, who? I said, Jim wow. Londis was the NWA World Heavyweight Champion back in the 30s. He sold out buildings during the Depression and drew million-dollar gates at a time when a million-dollar gate was unheard of. And so, you know, I'm a student of the game. I love to look back at the old days. I love to look back at the people that came before us. And, you know, I try to do my best to further my brand, to further the NAWA, and to honor those people. I mean, you know, as a manager, and we get a lot of managers, they'll love to speak about the old days, and they love to speak about who their influences were. And God rest his soul, and very deservedly so, they all mention Bobby Heenan. But if you were to ask Bobby Heenan who his inspiration was, he would tell you he wasn't the first Bobby to do what he does. It was Bobby Davis. You know, Bobby Davis managed Nature Boy Buddy Rogers to a championship in 1960. And so I think it's fun for me, and it's very satisfying that I can continue on in the manner that was presented back in the old days. And, you know, updated to keep it relevant to today's world, but never lose sight of where we came from. I think that's what building a legacy is to me. And, Tony, if you'd like to expound on that, I mean, you were in the forefront back in the day.
Thanks, Chad.
I appreciate it, guys. But, I mean, Tony, you were back in the forefront those days, you know, working with Herb Abrams and working with the UWF. What was it for you about tradition and legacy that really made you drive forward?
You know, my biggest thing, I mean, it has to start as being a wrestling fan, growing up as a fan, and just watching, you know, Channel 41, 11 o'clock, Channel 9 in New York on Saturdays, just that old tradition. And I think Kyle hit on it the best, that excitement. And what really got me, you know, it was those cliffhangers, if you want to say, that wanted you to go back next week. And, you know, the undercard guys, like the Barry Horowitz and the Brooklyn Brawler from the WWF and the Mario Mancini's and these guys that even SD Jones and all these guys that every week you're like, no, this week they're going to go on top. This week they're going to, you know, pull it out from inside. And, you know, they didn't, but you just kept rooting for them and rooting for them. And it's just, you know, that excitement. And, you know, I was always a listener, and, you know, I used to, especially with Herb, you know, he was doing his thing, and I was really learning or just studying him, if you want to say. And it was the excitement of the fans. That's, you know, as eccentric as Herb was in his days, he had a vision of his own. I mean, not 100% where I would have gone, but, you know, he was that in-your-face type of guy, but he always liked that crowd excitement. And that's something historically I've always had in every one of my bookings and every one of my shows, where there's always a surprise element, one way or another. There was always something there. And, you know, to bring that back out, and actually it's been out there this week. It just happened a couple of days ago. I did an interview with Four Fight and the NWA in regards to Thursday Night Fight, which is debuting in January, and about Jingle Brawl. And it was with Matt Stryker, who was with WWF back in the days. And, you know, that interview we did, you know, we touched on that history of, you know, the old school tradition. And no matter that wrestling has evolved to where it is today, deep down, it always goes back to the old school tradition. And to me, the old school tradition goes back to, you know, the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And if you look at it, it was the iconic wrestlers from, you know, not even the 60s and 70s and 80s, but even actually the 40s, 30s, and 50s that really cultivated where we are today. And it's the same storylines, if you want to say, to a different degree, but it's always the show. It was always bringing the best.
Agreed.
To the people, you
agreed.
Know what I'm saying? So it's different times. It's a different generation. My goal with Kyle is actually to be able to take that demographics of the older generation, like the 45 to 65, and for them to sit down on this event and have their kids, which is the newer generation, and say, this is what wrestling was about. This is what real wrestling was, not really what you're watching nowadays. And to get that younger generation, even though it's a different style, but to say, hey, you know, this is a different type of excitement in wrestling. It's not just doing a 450 off the top rope or a 50-50, you know, between talent. This is really something different, and it's a different like. And, you know, I'm working so hard behind the scenes to, you know, to stress daily. And I think Kyle might be tired of me calling him and talking to him every day, but it's just like, Kyle, you know, this is what I'm looking for. And I get a little idea, and Kyle, you're free to talk. And, you know, it's just basically, you know, it's just – I have these things that just come to me, and I just, like, keep throwing at them. It's just like, you know, here is this kid, or, you know, I call him a kid, I mean, you know, who's like a punching bag, taking what I got, but it's that vision of taking, you know, the history of wrestling and just really bring it to the forefront again. That's what we're talking about, old school style of wrestling with new flair. Old school is not just 80s and 90s. It's the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, the 30s, down to today's generation, and really incorporating all that into this platform that we call professional wrestling, you know, where wrestling like you used to be, wrestling like we know it. And it was best said by Bush for the Bushwhackers to me recently, you know, your vision is basically what it used to be. And if we can incorporate part of that into today's society, it's a home run, and that's really what I'm working on, you know, literally 24/7, I mean, to get this off the ground. You know, I can't speak
absolutely.
Enough about it.
No, absolutely. Dr. John, if it's okay with everybody, I'm going to put a little segment out here for the panel, and I want to get everybody's
sure.
answers.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that,
awesome.
That's great, but,
so,
I tell you what, I want to say one thing. That,
sure.
I really wanted to underscore what Tony was saying.
you know, when you look at one of the greatest wrestling wins of all time, it was the AWA Boston Championship of Gorgeous George. And,
oh, wow.
And he won it with a step-over toe hold. And I'll never forget, and this is truly one of the greatest moments in professional wrestling. He turned around and he looked to see how close he was to the ring so that he could bounce and do the step-over toe hold and he could pin Joe Eagle. And it was like, that was one of the greatest moments in professional wrestling. I'll never forget it. I will always promote it. And the fact that Gorgeous George beat the guy because he looked back to make sure he knew where he was. He bounced. He pulled it over, and there he was. So, you know, it's like there's just greatness in these guys that win these championships. And I think you'll agree with me.
Absolutely.
They know what they're
doing
in everything.
You know, it is too, you know, being, you know, really sentimental right now, Dr. John. It was the simplicity. It was letting the guys do what they did best without, if you want to say, rules and regulations. Go out there and give them the best for what they're paying for. And it was natural. And when guys work naturally, not under pressure, I think they perform better. You know, when they're being scrutinized about every little move they're doing and they didn't do this properly or they didn't do this promo properly, you know, that puts a lot of pressure on top of wrestlers just being a wrestler, you know, just let's go out there and just be a wrestler. And I remember I was just going to a friend of mine, actually, he used to be in Philly, he's out in Florida right now. We were just talking a little while ago, and we were talking about behind the scenes of wrestlers working out or stretching before a match. And he's like, oh, it doesn't make a difference if you're new or old. Some of the new guys probably do. I was like, no. And I remember specifically one that always sticks to my mind is Roddy Piper. And this was at Madison Square Garden. Here he was in a little corner by himself doing his jumping jack calisthenics and just jogging in the corner, just jogging and jogging for 5-10 minutes to get into that frame of mind of who Roddy Piper is, you know, the character Roddy Piper. And then just going through those curtains and being Roddy Piper, being himself, but being in that mode. And, you know, nowadays it's too much, a little bit too much on the creative side where it's like the talent cannot just be themselves. And that's one thing I stress is guys, lay back, enjoy yourself, have fun. We're a family, you know. Like I've always said, and I said this again, time and time again, you know, I'm just Tony from Mount Vernon, New York with a big vision and a big dream. And with all these guys' help, we will make this happen. You know, I'm not AEW. I'm not Tony Khan with $100 million to throw away. I'm not Vince McMahon with billions of dollars, and I wish I was, because I'll be honest with you, I wish I wasn't. I'll tell you why. I don't need $1 billion to make this a successful company. I don't need $100 million to make this a successful company. I need a little bit of money to bring it to the forefront. I don't need to be a millionaire to bring it to the forefront. I don't need to have 500 people under contracts, okay? I could have 10 people that can make me $10 million. I don't need 50 people to make me $20 million because I got less talent, but I got more talent that's hungry to bring it out there. And, you know, and then, you know, with the history of the way, you know, props to Paul Heyman and ECW back in those days, because he took nothing but a vision of his and cultivated it into a different style for that time of wrestling and that history and that culture and started Extreme Championship Wrestling. You know, and props to Paul Heyman back in the days for what he did. You know what I'm saying? Another guy that didn't have big money but just had this vision also, and it turned out to be great for him. And I know right now this is our time. It's going to be great for us, and it's not about the money. It's about the talent and letting the talent do what they could do best, and that is showcasing themselves as talent, bottom line.
No, absolutely.
And Tony,
absolutely.
And Tony, stop with what you said, because you're 100% right. The talent drives what we love. Am I correct, Tony?
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, people, you know, they question me sometimes. Oh, you always say with much respect and with much appreciation, admiration. You know what? Because that's the true me. That's the Tony behind the Tony Capone. That's the real Tony. You know, it's not a work. This is just me, who I am. And, you know, being on this platform every week, I'm talking to you not as Tony Capone, the athlete or the star or the owner of the company. I'm talking to you as Tony Muir, you know, the real guy behind the scenes making this happen. You know what I'm saying? And there's a big difference when I'm in character and out of character. And right now, I'm just being from the heart, and I've been like that from day one. I just want the fans to enjoy themselves. Just lay back and say, wow, what an event. I can't wait for them to come back. I can't wait to see them back on TV. And that's what it's all about for me.
And that's the beauty of this platform.
Absolutely.
You know, we've never put on any type of airs on this platform that we were going to be a character-driven platform. This is a platform to explain who we are to the world, explain why we're different, and explain why they would want to be a part of our vision, be a part of our product. And I think that's very refreshing.
And even take tonight, for example, you know, our special guest who's, you know, becoming a very close personal friend of mine, Kyle. You know, when was the last time you saw a creative writer come out there and just speak about wrestling, you know, on a different level than just a talent star and just basically a behind-the-scenes look? I mean, it's just something like, you know, hey, I'm proud of it. Yeah, I'm proud to say that
Agreed.
Kyle Bowman is our senior creative writer. You know what I'm saying? And I like him to speak
Thank
up.
You.
And yeah, I actually, to be honest with you, when we were talking last week of who was coming on the show and I was bouncing it around, you know, Kyle stepped up like, hey, I'll do it if you want me to do it. And I'm like, you were the last person I thought, because I always thought creative people were like little shy, quiet, you know, behind the scenes guy, and here is this guy, and, you know, want to be in the forefront. I'm like, go ahead. Yeah, I'm like, go, be articulate, man. Just tell the world about Kyle. And, you know, I'm honored. I really am honored. And, Kyle, you are part of the family. You'll always be part of this family, my man. You know, much
now, Kyle, if you want
today.
A sequence jacket, I can put you in touch with my tailor.
Well, as a matter of fact,
you know, just offering that out there for you, brother.
I'm very big on fashion. I wear a size 44 long, and I love Joseph Abood. So, yes, I'm ready for my close-up.
All right. We don't buy off the rack at the agency, bro. I'll get you in touch with my tailor.
But, Chad, just one thing for Kyle. Kyle, not for nothing. You do have to pay your dues,
yes.
So you'll be driving down to Daytona Beach, a 25-hour ride, just to get down to Daytona, my man. There's no plane rides for you. It's strictly by car.
Making towns, baby. Making towns.
Yeah. Gotcha. So we'll work on that. But in any event, I'm definitely a part of it and very emotionally invested and contribute. And that's the biggest point of all. I mean, I do have a very modest side because I don't want to step on toes, which is still very true. But forever grateful for the platform.
How about kicking shins? Is that okay?
Run that by me again. I'm sorry.
I'm saying, how about kicking somebody in the shins? Is that all right?
If it's a left tackle, you might get away with it.
You
know. Yeah. If it's a left tackle,
hey, guys,
you guys
want to have some fun right now? You know, given the theme of tonight's show, I want to have a little bit of fun. I want you guys to join in. We were talking
about,
you know, iconic moments. All right. So set this up in your heads. You're 10 years old and you're watching wrestling.
Yeah.
Name me, and I'm going to go around the whole panel. Name me one iconic moment that the 10-year-old you still remembers from watching professional wrestling. And Malcolm, we're going to start with you, but keep it under an hour.
Okay. I was 7 years old. It was 1972. Rio and Tio Tafui and Manuel Cruz from Mexico City, Mexico, were taking on the Masked Interns and Dr. Ken Ramey. The Masked Interns beat him, and then Dr. Ken Ramey told them to destroy him. And they had a feud with Pat Patterson and Rocky Johnson. And Pat and Rocky came out of nowhere, out of the back room. And Rocky was wearing this Western jacket with tassels, and Pat was wearing this sequin blue jacket. And he had a mask around his face. He used to keep a foreign object in the middle of his forehead to counter the Great Mephisto's foreign object in his boot. They had a feud still going on. But they came out, and they had something in their hands. And I didn't know what it was because I was only seven, but it was brass knuckles. And they beat the Masked Interns, getting beat on these three preliminary guys. And they tried to whip the mask off. Blood was flying out. I mean, fans were going crazy. I was at home. I was yelling, and I was only 7 years old. That's what I remember. So, yeah.
That's awesome, Malcolm. Vince, okay. You're up, bud.
Well, I was a little older than 10 years old. I was maybe about 14, but it was my very first wrestling event, and it was International Star Wars in Dallas, Texas in 1983. And they had a big card with, well, the main event was Kevin Von Erich wrestling Harley Race. Matter of fact, Ric Flair was scheduled to defend the title, but he dropped the title like a week later to Harley Race, and so they came and they were setting up the angle for David Von Erich to wrestle Harley Race. This was in the summer of 83, and they had Giant Baba was there, Jumbo Truto was there, Kerry Von Erich and Bruiser Brody wrestled Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy for the tag team belts, and they had a bunch of guys from Mexico, and it was just a, I mean, for a kid, being, you know, 14 years old and going to your very first wrestling match, I really couldn't pick a better event. They had the hair match with Buddy Roberts and Iceman King Parsons, and it was just that whole night just, I'll never forget it. And that was, what, 40 years ago?
Yeah, hard to believe it was that long ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, almost.
I'll give you guys mine real quick. Yeah, no, I'll give you guys mine real quick. 1975, we're still living in New York, and we had the All-Star Wrestling show on from the Garden, and who comes out to be introduced but none other than superstar Billy Graham? And I mean, no one, I had never seen anybody that looked like superstar that could actually talk, actually set the stage for what he was going to do. And I mean, at that time, Bruno Sammartino was untouchable. And when I saw superstar, I said to myself and I said to my father, who told me I was nuts, that superstar was going to beat Bruno Sammartino for the title. He had me that invested and that much in belief of his ability that I told your old dad, I said, Bruno's going to lose. And he goes, how dare you? You can't say that. Bruno's Italian. I said, I don't care. He's going to lose. So that's just one of the iconic moments that I remember. That and when Superstar destroyed High Chief Peter Maivia's ukulele. I mean, I never saw people more mad at the destruction of a $5 guitar before, but it was real at that point. Wow. You know, that's so, Tony, what about you? Iconic moment from when you were a fan, from when you were just starting out. Little Tony watching wrestling.
Well, let me tell you something, and probably you guys could help me out on this a little bit, but I'll tell you, I mean, back in the days, and this was like mid-70s, I was no more than maybe 9 to 11 years old, so you're talking anywhere from 74 to 76. And I remember going to the Sunnyside Gardens watching WWF house show back in the days. And at the house show, it was on TV, and I just can't remember who you wrestled, but it was Chief J. Strongbow. And basically, they had him tied to the ropes, and they took his headband down, and they started cutting it and just tearing it up. And I was there in tears live, and then I saw it like a couple weeks or something very similar to it on TV. And that was, you know, it's not an iconic moment, but it was like probably the biggest tearjerker moment in history that just really got me. And I've searched for years for that particular match, you know, in their catalog and online. I can't find it at all, but, you know, personally, I don't recall who you fought that particular night, but to me, that night was like, you know, I'm sorry?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. Was it Spiros Arion and Strongbow?
That's who I thought it was. That's who I actually thought
it was.
Yeah,
in fact, if I remember correctly, I think Captain Lou was the manager.
That's who I thought it was. And you know something? It was like that night, you know, being a little, you know, little Tony that, like, gave me like that little fan inspiration, like, wow, one day I want to get big enough to be able to go in there and like to protect Chief back in those days. I mean, it's so retarded in a way, but I'll tell you, it's something that's touched me. And then down the road to have, you know, Chief J. Strongbow actually book me behind the scenes, that was like, wow. It's just like, it was like one of those wow moments. But it goes to that particular match. Yeah, and I think you're right. I think it was Fear of Arrows, but I can't. I've been looking, and I just can't find that particular match anywhere. And just I don't know if I'm just not doing the right search, but I can't find it in his history whatsoever. And I know it was a house show, but I know I also saw it on TV. So I know there's some kind of footage out there on that. But that's one of my biggest tearjerkers that really got to me to really, you know, want to strive at such a young age to become a wrestler. You know, back in the early days, I was no more than like nine to 11 years old. That's when I knew, like, wow, this is something I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, from that day on, I just, you know, worked harder and harder to get bigger and bigger. And as you know, I became a heavy Goomba, you know, almost at 400 pounds, you know, 6'2" or 400 pounds back in those days. And it was just, the bigger I got, you know, it was more of a protection thing, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, that has to be one of my personal, not best matches ever, but most emotional match to me personally.
Sure. Absolutely. Kyle, what about you?
Oh, God. I know you had asked me or asked us, the panel, for one memory. Only one?
No, please, feel free. We got
time. All right. I'll try to go a little bit by era. I mean, again, based on, you know, because I'm 33, I only go back so far, LOL.
And we don't hold that against you. Don't worry about it.
Fair. And when Tony said kid, at least he's given me back a few years, so that made me happy.
I just realized, Kyle, I'm almost wrestling or been in the business longer than you've been born. That's putting an age number on me right now. That's like, I don't really want to go there, my man. But you know, you said 33 again. I've been in this since almost 35. And I'm like, wow, I must be getting up there in numbers, even though I feel like I'm 18 at heart right now.
No.
I swear to God.
I'll plead the fifth, and we'll call it.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair enough.
All right. But I guess for me, going a little bit era, we're going to go back into the time machine of February of 84, if I'm not mistaken, the David Von Erich tribute show, and with Kerry winning the title from Flair.
Yeah, it's May of 84.
The whole crescendo. Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
So much for my historian, goodness.
No worries. Malcolm would have got us both. It's okay.
Fair. Gosh, I think the next one, at least for me, would be, and this is what I admire about wrestling and what I'm hoping eventually to bring to the table, a great complement to the in-ring portion is the Four Horsemen stalking Dusty Rhodes in their car. They catch up with him and they break his arm, so that was fairly significant to me. We're going to go next to October of 93. And it's the Savage Crush Summit. It was supposed to be the handshake in the middle of the ring. And I won't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it. I'll keep you in suspense.
Nice. Very nice. Dr. John, your memory from wrestling back when you were a kid.
Well, I'll tell you what. My memory from back when I was a kid has now been changed. Because I am the biographer for Susan Green, and we are talking about things that you wouldn't believe, and I'm so excited about it. So I guess the best thing is Susan Green was, let's see, how can I put this? Susan Green was on the road. She never, you know, she never had a problem, but she always made sure that she won. And from 1971 through 1979, she was in the top 10 of PWF. You know, just she was absolutely the top wrestler, lady wrestler in the world. And so you can find out in March all the things, all the great things that she did. Susan Green, it was basically Susan Green versus the Fabulous Moolah. So you can find everything about that and it'll be great. And thank you for that. And Susan, I know Susan appreciates this. We talk every day, and we're going to make this thing happen. Got it?
That sounds awesome.
Very nice.
That sounds awesome. So we are again at the portion of our program where, as we say in the business, it's time to go home. So we're going to go around the group, and we're going to get everybody's plugs and shout-outs for the week. And we're going to start with our guest, Kyle Bowman. Kyle, anything you want to plug, any shout-outs you want to give for the week?
Certainly. Would like to promote, of course, if it hasn't been said enough, a special thank you to Tony and to all of you for having me on the show. Thanking my extended NAWA family who's also listening, especially on Facebook and what have you. Jingle Brawl, Saturday, December 19th, tickets through Ticketmaster. Watch it on Fight. And I especially want to say God bless all of you and a thank you to my father, Walter, my mother, Bonnie, who introduced me to this wrestling, and my family, and that includes my wife, Sarah, too.
Very
welcome. Yeah, instead of saying something, can I mention one more memory? I was much
Please,
older
Malcolm,
than
go ahead.
Kid. It was at the Cow Palace in San Francisco, California, and it was the day after Christmas, December 26th. My brother told me we were going down, we were living in Citrus Heights, a little bit north of Sacramento, and my brother said, we're going down to see my dad in Concord, California. But he kept driving, and we ended up at the Cow Palace. So my brother says, go out, look on the marquee. I said, we meeting Dad here for breakfast or something? He goes, no. He said, go out, look in the marquee, and it said,
this Friday night, the
main event,
sensational Rocky's Jungle.
Kurt Hennig.
Would you care to comment, Grand Lizard? Well, to begin with, I see nothing
sensational. All right,
well,
I've got to turn the TV off.
Kurt Hennig against World WWF Heavyweight Champion Hulk Hogan. And I went in there and saw some of the best matches, but the main event was Mr. Perfect with the Genius against Hogan. Hogan beat him. I was wearing a black Oakland Raider jersey number 75, and I was wearing my BDU battle dress uniform pants from the National Guard and high tops and my sergeant's cap. And Hulk Hogan, after he won the match, went over in the corner and he posed right at me. Man, I'm never going to forget that. Oh, the feeling I had. And I was holding up a Hulk Rule shirt that night. Oh, God, that was the greatest feeling I think ever. You know, I never got to meet him, but just him doing that to me was just, you know, as Road Warrior Hawk would say, a rush, you know. So,
yeah. Did you happen to tell Hulk about that when you met him at the beach club?
Yeah.
Or the beach club?
He doesn't remember it, but he's, you know, he's trying to – I told him that I got a program from that, and I'm going to bring it so he can see it next time I see him. So, yeah.
That's awesome, Malcolm. That is absolutely
Sweet.
Awesome.
Thank you, Malcolm. You are awesome.
Yours.
You're the best.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, my book is being released this week. I'm shipping out orders. Been working on that all weekend. Had a pretty good run this weekend, and my book is called Lance Von Erich, or I'm sorry, Lance by Chance, Wrestling as a Von Erich. It covers world class between 1982 and 87. Talks about his relationships with some of the different wrestlers in the sport, and talks about just kind of what happened at that time. You know, it covers David's death, it covers Kerry's motorcycle accident, Chino's death. You know, there was a lot of tragedy that happened during that time. And then it talks about how Fritz broke kayfabe and how, you know, he handled the situation of telling everybody that Lance wasn't a relative. So it talks about how wrestling was done back in the day and from Lance's perspective, and I think it's a pretty interesting read. People are reading it now, and people are telling me they're reading it, and so that was the thing, is I've had it all this time, or the books came this past week, but I've been working on it for 3 years, and nobody's really read it yet. And so there's a little bit of angst and anticipation of what the is going to be, you know. So so it's an exciting time for me. And you can
I'm looking forward to getting my copy and actually reading the book. And it was
and
a glorious time in wrestling, and definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, and let me say the website real quick, Chaz. It's www.lancebychance.com. So www.lancebychance.com. You can order the book, and there are signed books on there as well. So please check it out, and I appreciate your support, and I thank everybody who purchased this weekend. It was the sales were really overwhelming and humbling, to say the least.
Oh, very good. Very good. Now, it's
Thank
definitely
you.
Going to be a great read. Thank you, Vince.
Thank
my
you.
Shout-outs, my plugs for the week are very easy. Please go to any Ticketmaster location. If you're planning on joining us in Daytona Beach, buy a ticket for Jingle Brawl. If you can't make it to Daytona Beach, by all means, buy the pay-per-view on Fight TV. If you order between now and November 30th, you will get the pay-per-view at $9.95. That is correct. Less than $10 will get you 4 hours of the highest quality pay-per-view you are ever going to see. And for those fans that do purchase the pay-per-view or purchase a ticket for Jingle Brawl, I will send you an autographed prize package, a couple of 8x10s, and maybe one other surprise from Chaz Moretti, the chairman CEO of the Moretti Agency. So please, by all means, get out there and get your pay-per-view or get your tickets to Jingle Brawl. Tony, your shout-outs for the week.
Well, before I give my shout-outs, I just want to touch on two things. Chaz, I think I'm going to take you up on your offer because I could use a good dartboard to throw pictures at you, you know? So
well,
I'm looking forward to your signed autograph, you know, so it'll be a good target.
My wife's already beat you to it. Are you kidding me? My wife's got my picture on a cork board for 6 years with the target on it. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about a thing.
Okay. And Ms. Murray, if you can, please send me a link again to the NAWA homepage to Tony Capone. I like to put it out again once this week again and give you support on what you're doing out there, which is a great insight. And Lance is a legend in his own right in this industry. And I'm waiting for my signed copy to come in, and I'll speak to you about that personally. But if you could please send me a link to it through Tony Capone, NAWA, I'd like to put it out there tomorrow. For the fans and the NAWA family, please. And in addition to that, it's the usual stuff. I mean, not the usual, but the unusual. You know, Fight TV, December 19th, Jingle Brawl, Daytona Beach, Ocean Center. Get your tickets now live at the box office or through Ticketmaster or, pay-per-view around the world. And we've gotten a lot of buys literally internationally, and that's what this event is. It's not just a U.S. event. It is internationally with, like 8-9 countries on board right now. And there's stuff coming out in the next couple of weeks that we'll announce with other associations with other countries. So very humbling, and also just as a parlay, starting January 7th on Fight, NAWA Thursday Night Fight is going to be on 8 o'clock every Thursday night, and that's going to be a live weekly show free to the public. You can get it from either through Fight or through NAWA or through Apple or through Alexa or wherever you think you could get it, you can get it. Pluto TV, wherever it is going to be out there. So it's going to be for the fans, and it's free of charge, and it's basically our way of saying thank you and just debuting and just, going out there. So with that, I am humbled and honored, and I just want to say thank you to Chaz, to Dr. John, to Malcolm, and especially to our special guest, Kyle, and Mr. Berry also, just, for giving us that insight. And, Kyle, as a personal touch, thank you. I cannot thank you enough for what you're doing, and, your enthusiasm and your dedication to this company is beyond belief, and nobody and no one has stepped up to the plate the way you have, especially since we talked about you coming on creatively and you stepped in that position. Don't ever feel like you're stepping on anyone's toes, because they have to worry about stepping on your toes, because I got your back. Okay, so with that, those are my plugs for the week. And thank you very much, Kyle. I am this is not going to happen if it's not with part of you. So thank you, and I got your back, my man.
Likewise.
Absolutely.
And I thank you again, and especially for Chaz, too, as he's opened up to me via Facebook, and Tony, too, and all of our crew, especially with their help. So thank you again.
And as they say, Dr. John, take us home. It's your time.
And thank you so much, Kyle, for everything you've done. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you next week on the one and the only Wrestling Tonight. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Thank you. God bless.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
Likewise. God bless.
Hashtag NAWA. God bless.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Rock and roll.
I don't know.